You're listening to Soul Talk with Holly Azzopardi. I'm an intuitive, astrologer, writer, and mother, but mostly I'm a gal navigating spirituality in a refreshingly real and honest way. Join me as I share weekly energetic insights and laugh out loud real moments of my personal journey into more heart, more soul, and a whole lot of fun along the way. Well, hello there and happy Friday. I did a little question box a few weeks ago in my Instagram, and it was specifically to those of you that listen to Soul Talk. And I was asking for some insight into topics you'd like me to speak into. And there were some really great topics that landed, and I've kind of got them ruminating in the background rather than sitting and planning ahead, because you know that's not how I do things around here. But one of the topics that came up more than once that feels just very fitting to speak into based on what I'm feeling in the zeitgeist at the moment and something that I've also written in detail about in my book is this topic around friendship. Oh my God. I said the word friendship and then I had this flash to, I've mentioned a few times, my oldest best friend, Leah. We've grown up together literally since we were less than 2 years old. If you've read the book, the story's in there. And we wrote a song about friendship. I'm going to sing it. Leah, if you're listening, I'm so sorry. But this is something that we wrote about friendship, okay? When we were like eight. Are you ready? Get ready. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4. Friends are the family we choose for ourselves. You gotta get feisty when they do something wrong. And then it continued, but it just went like this for a bit. Do 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 do. Sha la 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 la. That was it. Friends are the family we choose for ourselves. You gotta get feisty when they do something wrong. Tell me that that's a Gemini and a Gemini ascendant. So good. Leah's actually a Gemini with a Scorpio moon, Taurus rising. So, you know, like it was written in the stars for us. It actually genuinely was. I digress. So we're going to talk about friendship today. And I'm just going to talk to friendship in terms of my own personal experience with friendship over the years. The lessons that I've learned through being a friend, which sounds like such a lame thing to say, doesn't it? But being a friend, it doesn't get spoken as much as, you know, being a lover or being a partner or being in relationship with someone romantically. But when you think about it, friendship for a lot of the time has this unspoken intent that it's going to be for life. Because I don't know, it's not often that we hear about or speak about ending friendships. It's either just a natural growing apart, drifting. When it's like a conscious breakup of a friendship, it's just not really spoken into. So I just thought I'd speak to some of the things that have arisen for me recently when it comes to friendship, and also leave you guys with some gems around cultivating and calling in solid friends, because I actually think I'm very good at this. If I do say so myself, sustaining friendships over life changes and challenges, because that can be a really difficult piece. And I think in especially the last few years for me, in, you know, moving away from majority of my friends, needing to make new friends up here, also the transition that happens when you become a mother, and there are friends of mine that don't have children yet, like how do you navigate that transition? And also ending friendships. I think that that's something that can be spoken to in a really respectful way. So that's going to be the conversation today. And I love that it actually weaves its way through off the back of What's the Vibe, where I was speaking to almost in a lighthearted way, but I genuinely believe if we were more aware of the energetic makeup of our friends, be it their natal charts, their human design, anything else that you kind of connect with in terms of human behavior and why people are the way they are, if we were as invested in, I mean, in astrology, it's synastry. If we're as invested in synastry with our friends as we were with our lovers, I think that we'd be more fulfilled in friendship. I truly do. If we actually took the time to understand our friends at a deep level, so not just, you know, I really like hanging out with you and it feels good when I'm around you, although that is a very big win. And I think, that, I mean, that's one of my values. If I'm feeling good around you, I'm going to want to be around you more. So let's be friends. But also that depth of connection of, oh, I understand why you see the world the way you see it. And that might be different to me, but also how cool is that? You know, the flavors that we add to one another's lives. I think that there's this piece in society where we feel entitled to longevity in a person, in a relationship with a person when it comes to friendship, way more than we do in romantic relationship. Like, it's very common knowledge to feel that we've outgrown a certain lover or partner or marriage, and going through the process, albeit, you know, seeped in heartbreak and grief and whatever else comes up. It's just a very commonplace thing to move through that and move on. But there's this weird thing with friendships. And I think it stems from when we're really little. And I know that this is something that I definitely bought into, is that notion of like best friends forever, best friends for life, BFFL, if you will. And it really puts this unspoken pressure on friendships withstanding the multiple life changes that happen from a very young age. Now, I have a very unique example of my friendship with Leah, because we were next door neighbors growing up. And from the age of I was two, Leah was not even two yet. We have been thick as thieves. So that best friends for life thing is actually, it's actually been our experience, but that's the exception to the rule. And I think this is where we become unstuck in friendship, is when we get into friendship with someone and we anticipate that this is going to be forever. It already, whether it's an early friendship or it's a couple of years down the track, it's putting this unnecessary pressure on the dynamic to be what it's here to be. I speak about this in detail in my book, and I don't often plug my book on the potty, but I will say, if friendship is something that you're really wanting to work at and get crystal clear on in your life at this stage, and you haven't read my book, there is a whole chapter, there's a whole section at the end dedicated to connection. And then the connection, it's called Know Thy People. And then that section is broken up into friendship and then boundaries, because I think you can't have one without, I mean, no, you can't have one without the other. But before we even get into, you know, how to know if a friendship has run its course or not, let's talk about actually getting crystal clear on why are we cultivating relationships with people in this way? What's a friend? And it's actually, it's an activity that I put in the book, because I had never, until writing it, sat and thought, for me personally, what makes a friend a friend? What makes someone in your life cross that threshold of stranger or acquaintance into friendship territory? And there is, it's a fine line and it's a shift, but I know that majority of us will have experienced that, where it's like, oh, I want to hang out with this person. I want this person to be my friend. And it's almost an intimacy piece, isn't it? It's, I'm willing to open up myself in a state of vulnerability and allow this person into my space. And it's very seeped in trust. Well, ideally it would be seeped in trust of your own judgment call of a person. And this is why being able to start to become aware of your bodily cues and sensations, what is a yes in your body, what is a no in your body, and then being able to read when you're meeting someone for the first time, does this person's energy feel like a yes in my body? Okay, it does. I'm willing to let them in a little more and a little more and a little more. And I'm of the view that we should date our friends before we invite them into our intimate space. I really believe that. I go on friendship dates. I do. And it's not that at the end of, you know, three dates, we get more intimate and they're in the inner circle. It's not that at all. But it just allows me to feel into and become really discerning. And this is all my Virgo in my chart. I'm quite good at discerning. All right, where is the value added into my life from having this person in my life? And am I adding value to theirs as well? It's that mutual exchange of reciprocity. I know this sounds like a very pragmatic approach to friendship. And this isn't something that I do every time I'm like meeting someone for the first time. I'm scanning them through this lens, but subconsciously I actually am. And this is where I think we fall unstuck, where it's, I used to be, especially in primary school and a little bit into high school, the gal who was friends with everyone. And it is a recipe for disaster. If you are friends with everyone you meet, if you are the go-to person for everyone you meet, it is a recipe for disaster, burnout, resentment. And this Gemini energy really, which is so fitting that the season we're in of wearing the masks for all the other people, but not actually knowing what you want, what you need in relationship with other. So that's my first piece is, what meaning do you give to friendship? Yeah. And especially people pleasers listening to this, it's actually friendship is intrinsic in people pleasing energy, because if you're a people pleaser and you haven't read my book yet, and you are the person who's like, oh, I just want to be friends with everyone, you are likely also bitter, burned out, and resentful. And I also want to say, if you are of the view that, you know, if you're friends with someone for a period of time and then you think, well, that means that I have to be friends with them forever, similar pattern here around putting undue pressure on yourself to entertain a dynamic that maybe has run its course. And we've heard the quote, you know, people come into your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. And I think where we come unstuck is that we have a friend and then we instantly put them in lifetime territory, when in fact it may be a shorter lived experience, which doesn't denote the importance of that person in your life. It doesn't denote the value that they brought into your life, but also it's a choice to be made around, is this still serving me? And this is where getting really clear on your friendship values. So we've got our life values, which if you're not clear on those, again, read my book. I'm going to stop plugging it, but I think the undercurrent of this episode is, read my book if you haven't. Okay? Please. Just because I'll be repeating myself. But if you're clear on your friendship values, then you can have a look through the lens of other people in your life. And this could be current friends in your life, friendships you're having a bit of a challenge with at this point in your life, or new people entering, and you can go, do they meet my values? Do they meet my friendship values? And if they don't, it's time to make a change. And I'll talk about making the change in a moment, but what can friendship values look like? You know what? I'm going to pull my book out. Give me a sec. You can enjoy listening to me grab my book off the shelf and turn to, I opened to the page of boundaries, but okay. Here we go. I'm going to read you a snippet of the book. And if you've already read it, it might, oh my gosh, P.S. publishers, if you're listening and you're hearing me read this, can I have an audiobook, please? I'd really like that. So guys, if you enjoy listening to me read this snippet of the book and you'd like it in audiobook form, can you send me a message being like, hey, Holly, I'd love your book in audiobook form. And then I'm going to screenshot them all and send them to the publishers, because why hasn't that happened yet? Okay. And here we go. Your friendship values. I've always been good at making friends. I think it's because I'm so fueled to make everyone feel comfortable, tamed with my natural tendency to ask all of the questions, hashtag journalist, and I've been told my energy leaves people feeling good about themselves, which is a bonus. My mum also raised me to be kind to every person I cross paths with, which is very beautiful, but also fed the people pleaser in me. I thought that meant I had to be friends with every person who wanted to be friends with me, which doesn't necessarily sound like an issue on the surface, but let's scratch a little deeper. Something I've only recently been navigating is my very specific set of friendship values and how important they are when choosing to connect with others. Because connection really is that, a choice in where we direct our time, energy, and words. And we know by now that all of this truly matters when it comes to living in alignment. It's taken me relocating out of the city I was born and raised in, leaving most of my dearest loved ones behind, to force me to take massive stock of my friendships and how they serve me. because I've always been surrounded by lovely people, I've never thought it was necessary to evaluate whether said lovely people actually add value to my life or not. And I know that sounds incredibly harsh. Trust me, this has been a very confronting part of the process, but again, mainly confronting for the people pleaser in me. The people pleaser in me wants to be friends with anyone and everyone, regardless of the value they bring me or I them, because I can't be bothered with conflict and I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. The people pleaser in me thinks I should be friends with everyone, discrediting whether I actually want to be friends with everyone or not. The people pleaser in me tells me I have the space in my calendar for the catch up, so obviously I should say yes to the catch up request. The people pleaser in me tells me it's the kind, good, and right thing to meet up with the person who's reached out on social media for in time person, even though I have incredibly limited time. Do we see the patterns here? It's time to get clear on what your people pleaser is telling you about the friendships you should or shouldn't have. And then it goes into getting clear on those values and defining what friendship actually is. It's really hardcore. This is actually the heavy lifting work, right? And it's so interesting because until we sit and think and contemplate, it's no wonder friendship can leave us feeling confused, burnt out, resentful, unfulfilled, because we're not actually looking at it as necessary to be worked at. Whereas for some reason, other relationships like family dynamic relationships, relationships with our parents and relationships with our lovers, they all kind of take the center stage. But our friendships, especially if you're quite a social person and spending significant time communicating with the friends in your life, like they actually require work. They actually require this level of contemplation. So for me, something that I do value in friendships personally is when I'm in a challenging space. Let's use last year for an example. That was the lowest I've ever felt in my entire life. If friends of mine weren't present for me during that period, instantly there's an alarm bell ringing for me. And that's not to discredit that they also have their own process to go through. I'm not sitting here high and mighty and saying that, you know, this is how people must be with me and I don't have any weight to carry. I write in this piece and I speak to, you know, my blind spots in friendship where I, for instance, can almost verge on I told you so territory because of that projector being able to see things. And I want to rescue my friends all the time and not let them have their own life experience. So there are blind spots that we all carry. It's part of our shadow in life and absolutely in friendship. And it's important to get clear on those. But one of my key values is when I'm in a hard spot, because I know when my friends are going through really hard times, I'm there. I almost to a fault. But last year, I think it was even pretty public knowledge, you know, on my social media that I was not okay. I was really not okay. And it was very illuminating for me in that time to notice the friendships that stepped in and up for me and the ones that completely dropped off and disappeared. And that was telling enough for me to go, right, our values are in a misalignment here. It's time to make some calls. And that the calls on a friendship front, when you know a friendship has run its course or the values are no longer aligning, and this is going to take work. Like this is going to take you sitting down, getting clear on your friendship values, looking at the people in your life that match them, looking at the people in your life that don't. And it's not necessarily you calling it on every front, we're no longer friends anymore. It's not that. It's that where are you investing your time, your energy, and your friendship, because that is an energy investment into the people that maybe aren't investing it back. I remember sitting opposite my therapist when I was still in corporate. So we're talking like almost 10 years ago. And I was so exhausted by almost like lighting the flame under every friendship in my life. It felt like I was, for a lot of the people that I had in my life at that time, I was the one instigating the catch-ups, initiating the conversations and these things. And the therapist said to me, Holly, what would happen if you stopped? If you just stopped being the initiator for a bit, carrying the load of this friendship brunt that you're carrying, what would happen? And I was like, well, the friendship might fall away. And she said, is that so bad? And it was really confronting for me at the time, but it's something that has stuck with me like a decade later, where it's like, where in your life do relationships feel one-sided? And obviously, I'm going to say there are seasons in people's lives where they cannot show up in friendship. Me last year, I couldn't show up. I could not show up for anyone. I couldn't even show up for myself. I dropped the ball significantly. And I'm also not faulting myself for that because it was a really fucked up time. And my friends that are still in my life to this day completely understand, completely get it. We're like, we did not expect anything from you last year. And now that I have more to give, I'm able to give, right? Whereas friendships that maybe don't carry that level of understanding or have a level of expectation in how you should be because it's always been that way, that's where it can get a bit foggy. And it could very much be a value misalignment, which is pointing to why are you holding on to this friendship anymore? And is it just because of the longevity from the past? I have both play out in my life. I am very excellent at maintaining good quality long-term friendships. The bridesmaids from my wedding 5 years ago are still my best, closest friends to this day. Leah, Jess, Em, and my sister Carmen, they are my sisters, ride or dies, obsessed forever. We, you know, Leah grew up together and we went to high school together. Jess, we worked in retail together. And my sister is my sister. She's my womb bestie. No, we're not twins, but, you know, share the same womb, have the same mum. Anyway, digress. So they're my rock solids. And then it's actually weddings are a very interesting one to look at because then you look at everyone else and it's like, well, I'd say probably 60% of the people who were in attendance of our wedding 5 years ago wouldn't be in attendance anymore. And there are some of my closest, dearest friends in my entire life, Zoe included, Cass included, like my friend Genoa, who I think I've spoken about on the podcast, like really, really close, intimate friends, Katie, like they weren't even a cross of my mind back then. Britt, like it's crazy how, especially when you're in the game of growth in personal development, self-evolution, that you will call in different people for different seasons of your life based on where you're at. You know, when I worked in retail and studied, I had a very different friendship group to the friendship group I had when I was just starting my own business and I was a little bit like I was going out more and I just moved out of home. I was 23 and we were going for like margaritas at Hugo's and Manly every Friday night, a very different group to now, you know, being a mother. And if you want to really see who your friends are, step into motherhood, truly, especially when it comes to, actually, no, not especially, on both fronts, because you have this incredible experience of the women who've gone before you stepping up and in. It's like this initiation thing where they go, you're welcome to the club. And my mother friends have been the most humbling experience because I felt like an asshole when I became a mother. I was like, I did not show up as a friendship in the capacity of friendship that they needed. And they still were like, it's okay. We get it. We were there too. And welcome. And it's just been the most incredibly humbling experience. And I do believe that every new mother needs mothers that have gone before them as close friends. And it's not about going to the playground and like chatting to a mum at the playground. Like that's a way to meet new people. Yeah. But for me, it's been actually revisiting the people in my life that maybe the friendship dissipated because they were in motherhood and I wasn't, and now we're back in the same kind of zone. That's been a big piece for me. But similarly, what's been really incredible for me to witness are the friends that don't have anything to do with motherhood and not in that season of their life, and they've stuck there for me. And you know who you are. If you're listening to this, you know, because I love you and I talk to you and it's, you know, we see each other and it's been amazing to witness that as well. Like I have so many incredible people in my life who aren't parents that even in the shit of last year stood by me and stuck by me, even when I couldn't give a thing. And that is where I look. It's almost like a sieve, right? You go, right. It's kind of sifted out and what's left are the people who were there. And that is something you don't have to go through a big initiation like motherhood, although they are very, very helpful. Moving interstate or moving far away is another one. It's like, where do friendships continue and cultivate, and where do they kind of drop off? And it's also not wronging yourself or the other person for friendships that fall away. It's a part of life. It's seasonal. We look at everything else in life, cyclic energy, right? It's autumn right now. I'm looking outside and the trees are dropping their leaves. It's the same thing. We cannot expect to be in full bloom with every friendship all the time for the rest of our lives. And that is the pressure we're putting on ourselves and our friendships. And it's just not serving us, not serving each other. And the best piece is to just get really honest with yourself. So where this conversation is naturally headed is to how to, I guess, create some boundaries or create not even boundaries, but when you know a friendship has run its course, what do you do? And to be honest, I have not been great at this. I used to be a very big fan of the phase out. And I apologize if there are any past friends of mine listening to this that have felt, and this is my shadow in friendship, that have felt that I have just forgotten them, rather than having a transparent conversation. I know through the work I've done on myself that that is the people pleaser in me, wanting to avoid conflict and feeling much more comfortable in just a ghosting. Let's be real, it's ghosting, than a transparent conversation of, I do not want to be friends with you anymore. And I was actually called out on this maybe a year ago or so, and it was very fair. I was finding myself in an old pattern of behavior, and this is what happens when you write a book, by the way, guys. If you pick a theme or a topic, you get initiated in every sentence you write. So just be warned. And every author will tell you this. Whatever you write about in book form will work you. And I was called out on my people-pleasing pattern of ghosting when I felt a friendship was no longer serving me and the other person. And so then I had to show up and have that conversation of, this is not serving me anymore, and I wish you nothing but the best, but I also feel that it's for both of our best interests that we are no longer friends. That was really hard, because underneath it all, I don't think most of us, majority of us, 99% of us want to hurt someone else, want to break up, you know, and I've never had to, other than my year 10 boyfriend, never had to break up with anyone before in a romantic context. So for me, I get the initiation through this experience of breaking up with friendship. And now that I'm on the other side of that experience, I feel that I don't think it will make it any less simpler should that come around again. And I'm assuming that it will, because this is life. And, you know, as I said, we're not all going to be friends forever, but also it's calling ourselves out on the shadow part of ourselves that are avoiding having honest, true, and transparent conversations, not just for the other person and the respect that you hold for them, but for the respect you hold for yourself. So, you know, it's honoring clarity. It's honoring that clarity of communication so nothing goes left unsaid. And it, for the most part, also holds a degree of respect. You know, it gives respect. It also gives strong maturity, strong level of maturity to share that conversation and also to receive that conversation and respect it, right? So I guess that's the key. If you're looking for the secret sauce to how to complete or feel thorough in the closing of a friendship, I would say honesty and transparency. And guess what? In the last few weeks even, I've had to have some really honest, transparent conversations with a couple of friends in my life where things have come up that I haven't felt comfortable with. And rather than doing my old, oh, I'm just going to let this pass and I'm just going to let this slide, I've really had to meet them and say, this wasn't okay with me. And if the person is going to be in your life, they will receive it. And they and in my experience, they have. And that's testament to a long-standing friendship as well. And also, it just avoids the boiling and the bubbling up of resentment over time. So really looking at friendships as another relationship that needs work, that needs these conversation threads, that need to be worked out, that need to be reviewed. Such a fucking hardcore way to look at friendship, isn't it? But I think that's why I'm surrounded by the best people in the world. I truly am at this point in my life, truly, and it's the first time in, how old am I, 33 years, almost 34 years, that I can say I do not feel any level of responsibility for someone else outside of myself, other than my child, but in terms of friendship, I don't feel any unfair expectations placed on me or another person. Something that I value is independence in friendship. I cannot deal with codependency. I really get uncomfortable when people need, in inverted commas, me. I can't have friendships where I am needed 24/7. I much more thrive in autonomy and being able to go away and live my life and then come back and have a beautiful experience with a friendship and go away and have our lives and then come back again. There's no pressure in my friendships anymore. And they're really mutual. And it's because I've done the heavy lifting. So I would say that these are some threads that I have been weaving over the last couple of years, especially in terms of friendships. And a testament to me of a good friendship is my beautiful girl, Katie Williams. We are thick as thieves. And last year for her as well was a really fucking challenging time. And we both went through the depths of our own experiences. And because we couldn't hold each other, we had this piece where it was like we didn't drift at all because we knew the other person was there if we just picked up the phone, but we had to be in our own processes. And it was only 2 months ago, I think it was during the eclipse portal actually, that we jumped on a FaceTime and had a 2-hour phone call, which if you know me, you know I don't do phone calls. But it was a coming back together because we were able to hold one another after we had held ourselves last year. And it was beautiful. And that's friendship to me. It's allowing the other person to go through their things, their processes, and know that they will come back and around and don't have expectation or pressure on that. The final piece I want to leave in this conversation around friendship is how do you call in? It's a question I get asked all the time. It's why I wrote a whole chapter about it. It's a big one. How do I call in my people? And as I shared, my OGs, my like solid friends are majority made up of, I mean, I have a couple of friends from high school still, but Em is like my best friend in high school since year 8. And then Leah obviously is just like, she's the exception to the rule. When people see us together, they're like, okay, right, we get it. You guys are sisters. Like, yep. But in terms of making friends in, and Jess as well, in work, in your adult life, meeting them, especially mums, I think it, a part of it is putting yourself out there. It's such a freaking annoying phrase, isn't it? Put yourself out there. Just put yourself out there. Like, what does that mean? Well, for me, I actually have a couple of new mum friends up here because remember, I'm new to this area. It's been 2.5 years. And for the most of that, I was pregnant and or in the worst corner hole in my house of my life last year. So really only now being emerging. In fact, one of my new mum friends, we were both introduced to one another by a mutual good friend of ours, and we both didn't want to meet the other person because we're like, oh, we don't need new friends. Like that shadowy, oh, I already have enough friends, when we both actually don't and we live 2 minutes away from each other. Anyway, I think part of it for me is actually being open to the introductions that are coming through the people that I trust. So I do think that part of it is a trust in other people that you have in your intimate circle already, their judgment call on who is right for you. That's been a big one for me, especially like my girlfriends can be a testament to anyone who's come into my life that has left a little bit of a bad taste in the end. My girlfriends who have been my solid people were like, they saw it from day dot. And so I think it's also trusting just trusting the character judgment calls of the people that you really hold close and that have spent a long time with you. So if there is a friendship introduction or if they're having a celebratory lunch, and then you go and sit with people that maybe you don't know. This happened 2 weeks ago for me. I went to a blessing way for a mother that isn't my new mum friend that I spoke about, and I knew no one at that table. I knew not a single person, but I also knew that I would like some mum friends up here. By the way, this isn't me going, if you're a mum friend and you want to be my friend, slide into my DMs.
That's just a boundary I'm going to hold.
This is just how I would approach it. Okay. I know that sounds pretty harsh, but you'd be surprised by some of the pickup lines I get in my DMs. I feel like part of it actually, that's another part on that, is allowing them to come organically rather than forced, or, you know, oh, I read all your stuff online, so I think we'd be friends. It's there is a tact and a subtlety that should be woven into the approach of developing, firstly, any level of relationship with a person before it deepens into a friendship. And this is where that trust thread is important. If there's someone in your life that you trust that says you'd like this person, it's the same, I'm assuming, with dating. Give it a go. So I went to this Blessing Way and it was a 4-hour lunch and I was like, I am going to know no one. And I felt a bit nervous and I left with a couple of numbers and some new mum friends. It really is putting yourself in the rooms where you know that there's an opportunity to start to gauge new energy. And now with these kind of new mum friends that I have, it's a slow burn. It's a percolation. I've got a new date with one of them in 2 weeks. I'll let you know how it goes. And our kids are going to catch up. And it's just putting yourself, and I the thing is with this new friend, she is the best friend of Zoe. Like, so she is very, very trusted, you know? It's not that it's just this random person that I know nothing about that my energy could get sideswiped by. And I think that that's the piece, is what are the people in your life? Who are they reading as trustworthy? Do you trust their judgment? And then starting to very subtly invite your energy into an experience with that person and read how that leaves you feeling. That is a very, very wild way of describing friendship, but it is the way that I'm working with it at the moment. The other one that is a no-brainer for me is using social media to your advantage and engaging in the content of the people that you really enjoy. And as I said, not sliding into the DMs and being like, hey, like, love what you write, we should be friends. It's being more, I think it's social articulation, like being more, having more of social etiquette around it, to just start engaging in considered conversation. Like, leave a comment that's really considered, send a message that's really considered, and then from there allow things to build slowly. Honestly, I just feel like this whole thread is, I mean, I've not dated, so I don't know, but I feel like it's the same as dating. Like, you're not going to go straight into someone's DMs that you're like frothing online and being like, we should sleep together. I think you're really hot, which maybe people do that. I'm sure people do that. But how is that received versus a like every now and then, and then building into a comment, then building into some banter, then maybe a little date or a little phone chat, you know? It's a slow build. That's what I'm getting at. Oh my God. I feel like I've just gone in a merry-go-round. I don't know if any of this has landed, but that is friendship. Friendship by Holly as a Party, my new fragrance. It's available at Santos. Joking, clearly. If friendship was a scent, though, I wonder what it would be. Curious to hear your thoughts. I don't know what I would put in friendship as a scent. That's another thing. If someone doesn't make me laugh, can't be a friend. Got to be funny. I can't be the one carrying the humor all the time, guys. All right, I'm going to leave it there. I hope this has answered your friendship questions. If it's prompted anything, sparked anything, if you have deeper questions about it, please jump in the Facebook group. I know I keep directing you to the Facebook group and I still get DMs and it's so nice. But if you have specific questions and if you have like beautiful feedback is always welcome anywhere. But if you have specific questions or experiences, please jump in the Facebook group. While I'm not completely active in there, I'm reading everything. And it really helps me. So if you're not in there already, I'd love to hear your insights and takes into friendship chat. Friendship chat. It's a big one. Send you guys all my love. Have the best weekend. And I'll be back in your ears on Tuesday.
You've been listening to Soul Talk with Holly as a Party. Enjoyed today's ep? Remember to share, subscribe, and leave a little rating if you like what you heard. And join us over on Facebook. Just search Soul Talk with Holly as a Party. Until next time.